Today's Shi'ez Masechta Zvach on Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Zayin Ram Beis at the Mishnah at the beginning at the bottom of the Amid. Teaches us the Mishnah Dam Shnas Arab Mayim. If blood got intermingled with water before they put the dam on the Mizbeach, says the Mishnah Im Yesh Bei Maris Dam, if this mixture still looks like blood, kosher, we may do Zrik Sadam with this mixture. But of course, as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvashem, that this halacha only applies if the water fell into the dam. And the water fell into the dam, as long as it still looks like blood, the halacha is that it could be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. But if it was the other way around, that the blood fell into the water, then as every drop of blood falls into the water, it becomes bottle. However, we're going to learn that many Rishonim suggest that if the way it fell into the water, even if the blood fell into the water, but it didn't fall in drop by drop, it was a large amount of water, a blood that fell into the water, so it was never in a situation of kama bottle, that a little at a time fell in. And if that's the case, then even if it was the blood that fell into the water, the halacha is as long as it looks like blood, then it can be used for Zrikas Adam, it's kosher. Continues the Mishnah, Nisar B'yayin. But now if the blood got mixed into water, so the question is, it got mixed into red wine. So since it got mixed into red wine, and now it looks red, we don't know why does it look red. Is it red because it's blood and wine, and that's why it continues looking red? Or is it red because the blood is still the dominant, factor here. Says the Gemara Roina, says the Mishnah, what we need to do is Roina, so we have to look at the situation. Kilo Mayim, as if the wine into which the blood fell was water. And now we determine if it would have been, if it would have still looked red, so that's a proof that it's blood, it still looks blood. And if not, then the halacha is that it looks like water, then you can't be using it for Zrikas Adam. Tosfos points out that when we say over here, it looks like blood or it doesn't look like blood, Tosfos says that what we need to think about is that it looks like blood, even though it's not as red as original blood was, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it has the look of blood, the fact that it's not the same deep red color as it was originally doesn't make a difference, and it's still going to be a situation where it's kosher for Zrikas Adam. But now continues the Mishnah, the Sar of Adam Behema. If the blood of the carbon got intermingled with the blood of a Behema of Chulin, Oy Bedam Achaya, or it got mixed up with the blood of a chaya, which the halacha is that we never could bring a carbon from a chaya. Roinon, so what the halacha tells us is to look at the situation. Kilu humayim, if that blood was water, and if it was water, and now we make the same determination. If it would have still looked like blood, then it's going to be acceptable. But if it's not going to look like blood, then it would not be acceptable. So Tosfos asks the obvious question. If it got mixed up with blood that we're not allowed to put on the Mizbeach, the Dam of Chul and the Dam of Chaya, so we have in front of us something that is us to be put on the Mizbeach. So even though we're learning in our Mishnah that as long as it's still red, it's considered like blood, and it's not considered like water, but still, you're not allowed to put this type of blood on the Mizbeach. So before, when we spoke about wine, one can make the argument that that there's no issa to put wine on the Mizbeach, which is also not so simple, because we're not allowed to bring Chulin Ba'azara. But here, how could we allow for this to happen? So to that, the Rishonim answer, that what we're going to have to do here is, concept that we've learned in our previous shurim, that if this blood, that's kosher blood from carbon, got intermingled with blood that's not allowed to be put on the Mizbeach, when he does the Zrikas Adam with this mixture, provided that it looks red, The halacha is that we should have in mind that whatever blood is not supposed to be on the mizbech, kudam chayu, whatever, then the halacha is that I have in mind that it should be l'shem eitzim. And since I'm using it to be for fuel or for eitzim on the mizbeach, then the halacha is that we're allowed to do it. But that's not so simple. We've learned that we're not allowed to put eitzim on the mizbeach. And moreover, even if we're allowed to put an eitzim, there's a special isser to put chaya on a mizbeach. How does having in mind that I'm doing it l'shem eitzim solve that problem? So Taisa suggests that when is the isser of putting these things on the mizbeach? When I'm putting them on l'shem carbon. If I'm putting them on l'shem carbon, they may not be put on the mizbeach l'shem carbon. I'm not allowed to put these things on as a carbon. But here, I'm not putting it on as a carbon. I'm putting it on for whatever reason I have, because I have the dam that I have to do zrikas dam with, then this iser doesn't apply. Rabbi Huda disagrees. And Rabbi Huda's opinion is, ain't dam mevatel dam. If I have a mixture of two different types of blood, then the halacha is that if I have blood that may not be put on the mizbeach, mixed into blood that may be put on the mizbeach, the blood that's, even if the blood that's not supposed to be is bottle, it doesn't become bittle, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that min b'mino, whenever we have a combination of two things that are the same, they don't become bottle. The basis for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based on a Gemara Masechet Yuma Daf Nun Gimel, where the Gemara teaches us that on Yom Kippur, we've spoken about this halacha, we have the dam of the par and the dam of the sor that are brought into the Beis HaMikdash, and there's different zrikas adam done in the Kodesh HaGadoshim, done in the Kodesh, done in the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And then the Torah HaGadosh says, V'lokach midam par midam asor, v'nos ha'karnes ha'mizbeach soviv, that we have to mix together the dam of the par and the dam of the sor. Now the Gemara over there says that the dam of a par is much more dam by the par than is in the sor. Yet the Torah says that even after when we put the dam hasor, which is so much less than the dam par together, it still retains its identity as a dam hasor. Why? Because they're both blood. And therefore, we learn from here that min b'minoi doesn't become bottle. The chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda are of the opinion that this, the reason it retains the opinion, the status of dam par v'dam asor, because they're both dam. So it doesn't make a difference if it's dam par v'dam asor, and therefore the rabbanon do not agree with the concept of min b'minoi and a bottle. In understanding, says the Ran, the logic behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that min b'minoi is not bottle, bin b'she'en b'minoi is bottle, he says there's a fundamental difference in a situation when we have min b'minoi. He says when we have min b'minoi, the two items that are mixed together are both the same. One strengthens the other. Since one strengthens the other, there's no place for bittel. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda hold min b'minoi in a bottle. When it's min b'she'en b'minoi, so we have two different opposing types of substances. When we have two different substances, then the halach is that they oppose each other. And since they oppose each other, the Torah tells us we follow the Rav. How did the Rabbanan, why and how did the Rabbanan disagree with Yehuda? Because they say that even if logically what we just said in understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is correct, that's not the only consideration. The other consideration is that this is not a consideration of logic. This is a consideration of halacha. And that the Torah says, Achi Rabim Lahatas, we follow the Rav. When the Torah says we follow Rav, it doesn't make a difference what are the circumstances. If they oppose each other or they strengthen each other, there's a din of bittel. And the din of bittel is not connected in any way to any other consideration. Nis'ara b'dam psulim, if the dam of the carbon, however, got mixed up with the dam that may not be put on the mizbeach, we gave examples. If the dam was from a roiva of a nirva, and the dam of a carbon that was pigle. And all these cases, yishafek lama, the blood has to go out, be down. There was a canal in the Beis Hamikdash. Well, all blood or any liquid that was going to be disposed went down that canal. The concept, the Mefarshim explained that this halacha that we just learned, that when it got mixed up with damha psulim, this opinion holds we have to have it all go out, is not going to be only by Rabbi Venerva. The cases that we learned before, when it got mixed in with a dam chaya, etc., the halacha is would be the same, because their opinion is that whenever you have blood that's not supposed to be on the mizbeach, it can't be put on the mizbeach under others any circumstances. As we said, there was a special canal. There was like a drain through which all the blood spilled outside of the Azara. And the Gemara actually in Masechet Pesachim, we've discussed this, tells us that on Erev Pesach, when there was such an abundance of Karban Pesach and such an abundance of blood, they dafka wanted, they said, Shvachu, it was beautiful how the Kohanim had to wade in this deep blood. So they dafka closed up that drain to keep the backup of the blood. The Rambam actually says, in explaining how the Beis HaMikdash worked, Amas HaMayim Hoysa Avaris Bazara, there was this water canal that went through the Azara, Shroitzen Ladiach HaRitzpa, when they wanted to wash the floor of the Azara, Soisman Mokim Yitzias HaMayim, they would close up the place where the water goes out, Vimismala Kogda Seha, and that would cause all the water to back up all over the Ritzpa, Ad Shamayim Oilim Vitzofim, until there was so much water all over the floor of the Ritzpa, Makatzvalayim Kaldam Velichlash Bazara, and they would gather, that's how all the blood and dirt in the Azara would get mixed into that water, Achach Poiskim Astima, then they would open up this canal, for Yoitzen Amayim Melechlech, and all the dirty water would exit, Nimtzas HaRitzpa Ha Menuka, and that's how the Ritzpa got cleaned. The Zek Void Ha Dais, and that was beautiful for the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is that the Ritzpa was always nice and clean. The halacha, interestingly, is say the Rishonim that this process of cleaning the Azara was only done after Shkiyas HaChama, because if there was any blood on the floor that was kosher for Zrikas Adam, we don't want to actively disqualify it by having it go out the Ritzpa. But once Shkia comes, and as we've learned many times, once Shkia comes, all the blood becomes possible, Lina. It becomes possible if you didn't do Zrikas Adam by Shkia. So now all the blood is possible, and now we could have it go out the drain. Or if it got mixed up with Dama Tamsis, if the blood got mixed up with the Dama Tamsis, as we have discussed earlier. The halacha is that the blood of the carbon with which we do Zrik Sadam is the Dam HaNefesh. That's the life blood. And the way we identify this early in the Masechta, Adav Chav Hei, is that the Pasuk says, V'lokach HaKoyin HaMashiach Midam HaPar. We learn from here, Midam HaTamtzis, not from the Dam HaNefesh. And the way we explain this is that the Dam HaNefesh is the blood that comes spurting out of the neck of the animal after it has Shechita. The Dam HaTamtzis is the blood that comes dripping out. The Dam HaNefesh, if the blood got mixed up with the Dam HaTamtzis, so then we have again the situation of blood that with which we may do Zrik Sadam, together with Dam with which we may not do Zrik Sadam. And again, here the halacha is Yishafech LaNefesh. Yishafech Lama goes out the canal. So the Sfas Emes says, the Sfas Emes asks, how can one be confident that when he does Shechita on an animal and he's catching the Dam HaTamtzis, maybe there's some Dam HaNefesh that gets mixed into it? Says the Sfas Emes that the din of the Mishnah only applies when we have the Dam HaNefesh and the Dam HaTamtzis separately. And now some of that Dam HaTamtzis that came out separately got mixed into the Dam HaNefesh. But if they came out together, then the halacha is that we don't have to worry if it's mostly Dam HaTamtzis. And what is the explanation? Says the Sfas Emes, the halacha is that if we have Dama Tamsis and Dama Nefis separately, as the Gemara is going to teach us, we have to be concerned that you may end up having more Dama Tamsis than Dama Nefesh. When is that possible? When the Dama Tamsis and Dama Nefesh are separately. Or somebody may come to use Dama Tamsis by itself. But if the Dama Nefesh is mixed together with the Dama Tamsis, all of those concerns that are mentioned in the Gemara don't apply. And therefore, there wouldn't be a problem even if there is some Dama Hatamsis mixed into the Dama Nefesh. He says, as in any situation where there's that much dam, kosher dam, that would be noticeable as dam, then we don't care about any mixtures. Says the Mishnah, Imloy Nimlach, if the Kohen, when the Chacham said that we just learned, that the opinion of the Chacham is if the blood gets mixed up with blood that should not be put on the Mizbeach, don't put it on the Mizbeach. But says the Mishnah, if the Kohen did not consult and he just for Nosan, he put this blood on the Mizbeach, the Loch is the kosher. And interestingly, the way the Karen Ayer explains the Gemara, why should this not be considered a situation of Nitcha, that the Dam became Pasul? And we've been discussing often in our Shurim that once something is Nitcha, once something is disqualified, it remains disqualified forever. So why is this not a situation of Nitcha? Explains the Karen Ayer, Nitcha is only when it's Nitcha in a complete sense of the word, that it's possible even with the Evid. Here, as we're learning with the Evid, it's Kasher. In a situation where with the Evid, it's Kasher, we don't say Nitcha. Says the Gemara, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, the Locha of our Mishnah, that says if it still looks like blood, then if it got mixed up with water, then it could still be used as Rikas Adam. To this says the Gemara, Amrav Chibar Abba, Amrav Yoichel Loishan, Ol Shanoflo Mayim Matoich Dam. When is this halacha said? If the water fell into the dam, Avo Nofel Dam Matoich Mayim. If the water fell, if the blood fell into the water, so then, as we say, Rishon, Rishon bottle, every drop of blood as it falls in becomes bottle. And therefore, even if afterwards the situation turns itself around, and then you may end up having more blood than water. And therefore, if you have more blood than water, then we should say that it's okay. So now we say the svar that we said a moment ago. It became nitcha. And once it became nitcha, before it overtook, the dam overtook the water, then the halacha is that it's that the dam remains pasul. However, as we mentioned in the Mishnah as well, this halacha that we have to be concerned about kama bottle is only a case where the blood fell slowly into the water and became bottled one at a time. But let's say the way the water fell into the dam was in a large amount. So if it fell in with a large amount, then the halacha perhaps would be very different because it was never a situation of kama bottle. Continues the Gemara, Amar Papal Inyan Kisui. The halacha is that when we shecht a chaya or oif, the halacha is that we have to do kisui adam. Says the Gemara, Inyan Kisui, the halacha is that when we have blood and dam get mixed together, ein nikain. Their halacha is very different. Because their halacha is that ein dichot l'mitzvus. We don't say the concept of nitcha that became disqualified and remains disqualified forever. Rather, the halacha teaches us ein dichot b'mitzvus, that once it looks like blood, even though at one point it didn't look like blood, if currently it looks like blood, then it is chayiv and kisui hadam. But the Rosh points out that there's different situations where we say dichui or don't say dichui b'mitzvahs. For example, he says, our Gemara is speaking a case, does it look like water, does it look like dam? So we're talking about the object that's chayiv and kisui hadam, and the halacha tells us it depends, does it look like dam or not? And there, the Gemara is teaching us by mitzvahs, we don't say the concept of dichui. But when we speak about the person that's nitcha, the halacha is, even by mitzvahs, we say dichui. What does that mean? He gives an example. Rachman al-Tzlan, if you had a child who lost a parent. And therefore, under normal circumstances, when one loses a parent, he has to start Avelis. Here, when the parent died, he was a katan. But during the Shloshim, he became a gadol. Do Hilchas Avelis kick in? Says the Rosh, no. Since at the time where Avelis began, he became he was Nitcha, he remains Nitcha forever. There are different opinions that say, even here we say Tichu. That there is an interesting question, that when our Gemara said, Ein Tichu b'mitzvahs, how are we to understand the psak of this Gemara? There's a Machloikis HaPoiskim. The Taz and Magen Avraham discussed this. Some suggest, as we were learning, Ein Dichui b'mitzvahs. There's no concept of Dichui by mitzvahs under any circumstances. And if this mixture will look like blood, the halacha is that it will be Chiv Kisui Adam. There are others that say the way to understand the Gemara is not that the Gemara is saying it as an absolute, that Ein Dichui b'mitzvahs. The Gemara actually is not quite confident how to understand the halacha here. And therefore, they suggest that it's a suffix if we say Dichu b'mitzvahs or not. What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, do we make a bracha? Do we make a bracha or do I not? And that's the question here. If we say Ein Dichu b'mitzvahs as an absolute, then when we have this mixture that looks like blood, we'll even make a bracha. If we don't know for certain, we'll have to do Kisei Adam, but we wouldn't make a bracha. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Shlokish. A pig of anos v'tama. We have different foods, different parts of a carbon that are all disqualified, either because it's pigal or because it's nice or because it's tummy. Shabalim zebazan, we mix these pieces of meat together. And the way the Rishonim explain that we have two of these pieces of meat, even though we spoke about three types of Isurim, we have two types of meat and we mix them together. Potter, then a kazayas of one and a kazayas of the other, and we put the two kazayas in your mouth, and the halacha is that if you eat them, you're potter. Because when we put them into the mouth, what happens is there's going to be one that's going to end up being bigger than the other, and therefore that's going to be the roif, and the other one is the bottle. And since we don't know which one is which, as we're going to see in a moment, so we don't know which Averi he did, the person that ate this mixture. And when we don't know which Averi he did, the halacha is that we can't give an einish, we can't punish him, because it will be, as we'll see in a moment, Asra Safek. It's important to point out that the Paiskim, and mentioning this Gemara, don't in any way suggest that what Rish Lakish means to say is that you're allowed to eat this mixture. Of course, one may not eat the mixture. What Rish Lakish means to say is that we can't give a person an oinish, a punishment, for eating this mixture. Says the Gemara, after hearing what Rish Lakish has said, Shmamina Tlas, we could actually learn three halachas. Shmamina, Isur Matan Zezeh, that we have these two foods that we just identified, they're both usur. Since we have these two foods that are both usur, when we would think that maybe we only say Isser Mevatel Heter is when we have a food that's usur and a food that's mutter. But when we have two foods that are both usur, maybe we wouldn't say so. Teaches us the Mishnah that even in this teaches us the Shlokish that we say Isser Mevatlim, we say Isser Mevatlim Zuazu. The Shmamina, the next, we could apply the concept of bittel. Shmamina, the next halacha that we learned is nois and tam b'roiv, lav d'raisa. In other words, what we have here is that we have one food that is majority and one food is the minority. But if we hold the concept of tam k'ikr, so then the tam of the food that's not the majority is still here. And since it's still here, it should be considered as if we have a kazayis of that tam, even if we don't have a kazayis of the actual food. The halacha teaches us that we don't say midaraisa, we don't say tam kiker. So I saw a number of interesting shilas when we speak about this halacha. What would be the halacha if somebody has a baked food that has in it, that he wrapped into meat. So now the question is, of course we have to take challah from the baked food, but we also have to take challah from the meat, because if we say tam kicker, it got the taste of the challah, and then it's something that's mechoyev and challah. Another example that I saw of Chaim Kanievsky's etzal speaks about in his sefer Derech Amuna. What would be the halacha if we'll cut with a knife something that's hot, that's mechoyev and trumas amaisris? So we cut with the knife something that's mechoyev and trumas amaisris. So then the belia of that fruit falls into the knife. If the belia of that food falls into the knife, so we have to take challah, not just, and we hadn't taken challah yet. We don't only have to take challah from the actual baked food. We would also have to take challah from the belia and the knife. And Chaim says that actually that would be the halacha. But Reb Chaim suggests that you don't have to have that in mind. When you're going to take off the challah, automatically what's included is taking off challah. What's also included is taking off the challah from whatever was absorbed by this food that's mechuyev in challah. B'shmamina, as we said a moment ago, from here we also learned halacha that asra sofik, since we can't clearly identify which was the veira that was violated here, therefore lo shma asra. As we just have been mentioning, the Tariq Daisha tells us that from a dough, we have to take off chal if we have the right amount of dough made from the right types of grains. Chitin, soirim, kusmin, shibul, shol, and shifin. The Tariq says we have to take off chal from a dough that's made from these grains. Says the Gemara, what about if you make bread, for example, challah from rice? You wouldn't have to take off challah. Masl Rava, the Mishnah Masech, the challah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin teaches us. Asa isim and achitim and oiris. If somebody made a dough out of wheat and rice, im yesh bei tam dogen, if it has the taste of wheat, chayeves b'challah, it has to take off chayah. V'avagav deruba oiris. Even though it's mostly rice, you still have to take it off. So we see from here that even though you have, even it's only nesinas tam, it's that the wheat is only giving taste, still the halacha requires that we should take off challah. Answers the Gemara, that chiyuv is only midrabanan. Midraisa, there is no chiyuv, because tamkik is not the raisa. Ask the Marihachi, if that's the case, that it's only midrabanan, let's continue learning that Mishnah. Ema Sefer, the Mishnah says, with this mixture of wheat and grain, you could be yotz the chiv matzah. Now, if we say nois and tam is a concept that works with the raisa, so we could understand that halacha, because since the wheat is giving taste to this entire mixture, since the meat is giving taste to the entire mixture, so that's why it's considered like a piece of wheat challah. But if we look at the mamoshes, we don't have enough wheat challah. And if we don't have enough wheat challah, why should there be a chiyuv challah? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand it. When we have a mixture of two foods that don't have the same taste, then why do we follow the tam? We look at what nois and tam, what is nois and tam. And that is a din d'oraisa, not the way we've been understanding the opinion of Reish Lakish. But when we have min b'minoi, the two foods that got mixed together have the same taste, then the halacha tells us that we follow roif. What's going to be the halacha, indeed, as we said, if somebody made a dough out of a mixture of wheat and rice, so we're saying that if it has the taste of wheat, it's chayiv challah, you could use it for Pesach. The Rishonim discuss, what does this mean? The Ramban says that you have to have enough challah, enough dough to be chayiv in challah. And therefore he says that it has to have enough dough, enough wheat there. If you don't have enough wheat there, it, even though it'll taste all like wheat, it's not enough. The wheat has to be derived and has to taste like wheat. The Rosh disagrees with the Ramban. He says, as long as it tastes like wheat, the Pasha Pshat that we've learned in the Gemara, the halacha is that that will be adequate. The Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei is Simon Shin Chav Dalad Sif Beis says, Oysa Isa Mechitim Iris, if somebody makes a dough out of Chitim and Iris, Im Yesh Bei Tam Daga, if it tastes like wheat, Chayav Bechala, Al Pisha Ruba Iris, even though it's mostly rice, Mla Ptura. And the Shach explains that as long as we have wheat here and it tastes like wheat, even though the Iris is the majority, the Shach explains that there's a special halacha that rice is always considered bottle to the wheat. The Torah says that that is the halacha by all types of grain with rice, as long as it tastes like grain, it has a din of rice. But when we talk about matzah, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tufnun Gimel Sebeis says only wheat and rice, if it tastes like wheat, you could use it on Pesach. By other types of grain, the halacha is that we don't have this halacha. The Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Mishnah Berurah bring down two opinions, and he says, and they say, since we're not sure, la locha, we should be machmer. We're talking about the mitzvah, the raisa, and the only time we could be lenient, says the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, is only in a case where you have wheat and rice mixed together and taste like wheat. But they do say that b'dieved, I guess in difficult times, where there's nothing else available, even if it's mixed together with other grains and it tastes like grain, the halacha is that we'll be able to be lenient. The Chazon Ish disagreed. Chazon Ish's opinion is that it never could be, we can never, that's only by wheat and rice that there's a place that the Rosh says that we could be lenient, no other situation. The Tosfos asks a question. He says, and we're going to be speaking about this concept, that the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, teaches us that if you eat the matzah and maror together, you can't make a bracha on the matzah, because we're concerned that the maror will take over the time of matzah. And here we're saying that it's mutter to eat a mixture of white, a rice and wheat. He says that, so why? So Tosfos answers, you can't, and it's very much understood according to what we said. Maror has a very strong taste. And since maror has a very strong taste, the maror takes over the time of the matzah. And since the maror takes over the time of the matzah, that means you're not eating matzah properly. When the maror is not together with the matzah, there we have, but when it's wheat and rice, as we've been learning, the rice becomes bittel, and therefore the halach is that if it tastes like wheat, it's good matzah. But ask the Gemara. We just learned, the Gemara just taught us to differentiate between min b'minoi and b'min shem b'minoi. Ask the Gemara, why b'min b'minoi do we say that we follow Rav? Why don't we, as we learned in the Mishnah, as we'll see in a moment, that why don't we look as if the two things that were mixed together were min b'she'en minoy, and then evaluate if this was a mixture, min b'she'en minoy, would it taste, or how would it taste? And the Gemara says this concept that we could, so to speak, make believe is something we learned in the Mishnah. The Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, that if Nis'arev, the dam of the carbon got mixed up with Yayin, what does the Mishnah tell us to do? We look as if that wine was water. My love, isn't the Mishnah mean to say, and now we determine, would it look like blood or not? And the same thing we should say over here. Loi says, that's not what the Mishnah meant to say. We look at the water as if it was water. And if it got mixed up with wine, if it got mixed up with wine, it's not noticeable. And that's why it's bottle beroiv. And that we don't look at as if as it got mixed up. Says that's what the Mishnah means to say, that the dam becomes bottle beroiv yayin. That the dam becomes bottle beroiv yayin, bottle me boile. Voitanya. And we learned further in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Roinoi soy kilu yayin edoim. If there was a mixture that, if there was a keli that became tame, that has to be taken to the mikveh, and it hasn't it white wine or blood or milk, and it was put into the mikveh when these liquids were still in that keli. So Rabbi Huda teaches us that the halacha is roinoi soy kilu yayin edoim. We look at it as not as if it was full of blood, of white wine, milk. We look as if it's full of red wine. And when we put into the mikveh, dia mareo, if the liquid became lighter, kosher, it'd be kosher, rimlav, but if it still looks like red wine, pasul. The halacha is that a mikveh that got mixed up with it liquid, the halacha is if it changed the color of the mikveh, it's pasul. Because the mikveh has to have the look of water. But if it got mixed in, let's say wine fell into your mikveh, but such a small amount of wine fell into your mikveh that it doesn't look like wine, it's kosher. And that's the same here. When the white wine or the milk are here, we look at it as if it's red. And that's why we don't say bittel. So why over here in our Gemara, why don't we say the same? Says the Gemara, that this question, if we could take such an approach, actually Tanoihi is a machloikus Tanoim, if we could say Roin or not. The Tanya, the Braisa teaching us, Tlish yesh b'yayin lovin acholov, if you have a basket that's full of milk or water, or white wine, the tefillin is put into mikveh, talocha halchen acharoiv. If there was more water than wine or milk, then the wine and milk become bottle, and the tahara of the mikveh of the keli is tar. That means you have this much liquid in your keli, and now you have the mikveh water. If there's going to be more mikveh water than these liquids, the tefillah is considered a kosher tefillah. But if the wine or the milk are derived, so then the mikveh water that goes into this keli doesn't become bottle, and therefore it's considered min b'minoi. And when we have min b'minoi, that all looks the same. The halacha, as we've been learning in our shir, is that we follow roiv. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't follow roiv. He says that we have to look at it as if it was red wine. And therefore, if it's not roi na sekul yayin edom, we look at these liquids as if they were red wine. Im diemareu, if it wouldn't look like wine anymore, kosher, the tefillah is a good tefillah, then lav is possible. So we see that there's a machloikis if we say the concept of roin or not. And that's what the Gemara says, is the way to understand our Gemara is if do we say roin or not.